This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Sports royalty is on the air. This is the only show with so much talent and expert analysis, it can barely be contained. Jump on now or it'll pass you by. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to your only home for everything sports, episode 6, Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. We've got an awesome show tonight because, a lot of stuff happened today in Major League Baseball, including a wonky Game 5 up at the Rogers Center in Toronto. Game 5 going on at the moment at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. And then another Game 5 on Thursday night out at Chavez Ravine. That's going to cause my digestive system to go up and down. And, of course, we got a big football week as well. Let's get started. Let's bring in our crew. We are going to have a tag team. And they are the greatest tag team ever. And that is this guy who is joining us for this segment, and then he's going to tag off to his partner for the second segment, the doctor, Dr. G. George Blino. We will give you time to discuss your beloved Giants, because I was with you for most of the first half when you were banging the table at the bar and wanting to throw your pint glass out the window. But you'll be joining us for the baseball segment. Cowboy Senior will join us in segment two to talk NFL, so you'll be tagging off to him because you've got to leave. So for those looking forward to Senior's rant on cold cats, you will get that after the break. But Doctor, pleasure, because you and I are going to both rant about crappy officiating in multiple sports. Also joining us, the Cowboy, Roger Morgan.
Yo!
What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. What a fun time of year for sports. I'm just jazzed up Schmitty's on the show.
That guy. And you know what's best about having him back? Heath Schmidt, Schmitty, he's on Skype now too. This is awesome.
Hello, can you hear me now?
It's good to have you on, Schmitty.
And I don't know, man. We did the lounge for like a year with Senior and Schmitty, where it cost me fucking like $7-$8 an episode. You know, they don't want to dig in your pocket, I guess, Scott. Cowboy's not doing it anymore. I'll sign up for Skype.
See what I did? Look at that. I've bonded everyone technologically. Guys, always, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to having Senior on after the break. As second segment, we'll dive into week number 6 of the NFL season. But, of course, we have to talk about this first week of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Three of the four series went to Game 5. Fortunately, the one Game 5, the one series that didn't is the one that I'm glad it didn't, because I'm glad that team is eliminated. Because if there is one guy who has more vitriol for a team than Senior has for the Colts, I have for the Cardinals. They could not lose fast enough, and now you take your 100 wins and stick it in your ass as they lose in four games to the Cubs. Schmitty, a lot of it was probably injuries, but, I mean, the Cubs just mashed Cardinal pitching in this series. I mean, like, industrial softball mashed the Cubs and the Cardinals pitching in this series.
Yep, those Cubs rookies, they're growing up quick. That is a scary lineup, and to think, you know, most of them are still rookies. Russell, Schwarber, Bryant. The Cardinals, I mean, you got to give it to them. They had a hell of a season, losing all the players they lost. But the loss of Yachty hurt them in that last game.
Yeah.
He wasn't right at the plate all series long. I can specifically remember the first game of the series. John Lester threw him meatballs, first pitch fastballs, because he knew he couldn't hit. You know, with the thumb, thumb injury. So,
yeah.
But, you know, losing Carlos Martinez, that really hurt him. I mean, John Lackey pitched his ass off both games. Walker seemed to lose it towards the end. So did Lynn. The bullpen was pretty good, but all in all, I mean, the Cubs pitching was a little bit better. And like you said, they brought their whooping sticks.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Hey,
and I think the Cubs are going to be a tough out for whoever wins that next series.
Hey, Keith.
Yes.
So one guy you didn't mention was Soler, who really had a pretty disappointing season and has just been ridiculous.
Yeah, he's got a lot of promise, that kid. He had a rough season with injuries, but he's got 30 homer potential, guaranteed. And he's got a cannon in right field.
Do you think he's a guy? I mean, he's really been like an X factor, right? Because you think of them coming into the playoffs, and he's probably the seventh or eighth guy in that lineup that you're thinking about. And if he keeps this up, I mean, it could be they could break that curse.
Yes, yes. Soler is sort of an afterthought, right? I mean, like you said, he had a disappointing season. I think he only hit maybe 6 or 7 home runs this year, maybe 8.
And he was injured for a little bit, but
he was. But even when he was in the lineup, he wasn't producing like he is now.
Coming off
what he did last year, I mean, there were a number of analysts that I heard that said everybody's talking about Chris Bryant, but this is the kid. This is the stud. This is the stud. So for him to put it together now, I think is really, really, I mean, with him doing that and the way, I mean, I know Arrieta didn't have had his worst game in the second half, which was, you know, with 4 runs, but, you know, with Arrieta getting the ball at least twice in a series and with the way Soler's hitting and the other guys too, I mean, they're a tough out right now. They are a tough, tough out.
Mm.
Soler and Bryant have a lot of similarities in the way they control the strike zone. They don't swing at bad pitches very often, and they both have prodigious power. So, and Schwarber, did you see the home run he hit yesterday?
Has that landed
yet?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, on top of the scoreboard. And apparently, they're leaving it there.
Yeah, well, so yeah, take it down either.
Well, and Keith and another guy, a little bit unsung, but I mean, Hector Rondon has been one of the 5 best closers in baseball all year. And I mean, to have that guy in the 9th and you know how that is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Big
bullpen, Strope and Rondon. Actually, the whole bullpen in this past series pitched really well. Travis Wood got a lot of key outs. Grimm yesterday, that was when he came in. I thought that was the game right there. Cuz the Cardinals looked like they were ready to do some damage, and he got those 3 strikeouts.
Yep.
That was big. But yeah, I really like this Cubs team. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott.
That's all right.
For listeners of the lounge, Keith's had a big old hard on for the Cubs for the last 2 seasons. Keith's a big prospect guy, and the Cubs obviously have the most loaded farm system in the league. And he told us when these guys come up and they grow up a little bit, watch out. And Keith, I commend you. You were 100% right.
And I definitely think this Cubs team, are better than I thought they would be at this point. I thought it was going to be another year or two before they were going to make this kind of run. So obviously, Theo and adding Joe Maddon as a manager has definitely done a lot for this team. And obviously these kids have grown up real fast.
And Arrieta was a cast off. I mean, the Orioles cut him, you know, traded him.
Scott Feldman.
Yeah. What happened to that guy?
Traded him for.
You know, before we get into this bonkers game in Toronto today, let's talk about the future of the scourge of the earth, and that is the St. Louis Cardinals. And they got old pretty quick. They have a couple of key free agents, a big one that my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, would love to see in Yankee pinstripes, and that's Jason Hayward. He's not going to stay with the Cardinals. He's going to command a lot of money, and he should. The guy's a hell of a player. He's an incredible player. I don't know if the Yankees will afford him.
Let him stay in St. Louis. I don't want.
He's not going to stay.
Freaking big contract. The guy will have 1 good year. And
well, I don't even think he's not even going to go. He's not going to stay with the Cardinals. I can't. The Cardinal front office rarely spends that kind of money. John Lackey's a free agent. You're going to see some big changes in St. Louis this offseason that a lot of roster moves that they haven't had to do in quite a long time. Obviously, Wainwright will be healthy next year, but. You know, Waka broke, like you said, Schmitty, Waka kind of broke down at the end of the year a little bit, and Lynn struggled late. I mean, the usual gas they have, they ended up not having in the postseason, which they usually do. So I'm curious to see what
the best fans in baseball. They're
I don't believe it. Yeah, they're
Lynn's always been a little bit of a front runner.
Yeah.
He's a solid number three pitcher. That's what he is. Yeah. But with all the injuries, he was asked to play a bigger role.
Yeah, I mean they really need Jaime Garcia to be healthy, which is I know asking for a lot, but I mean he gives that rotation depth that they really need.
Right.
And plus he's the only left-hander in the rotation. That kid Tyler Lyons. I mean he made a few spot starts this year. He could be part of their rotation next year, but I think John Lackey. The year he put together this year, I think he earned himself some money. I don't know if it'll come from the Cardinals, but, I mean, that guy pitched for $500,000 this year. And he pitched like an ace. I mean, his record didn't reflect it. He had a lot of losses, but that's because he went deep into a lot of games. His ERA was, I believe, under 3 this year.
Hmm.
You know, he's going to earn himself at least a 2-year deal, if not 3.
2.77.
Yeah, he was excellent this year. That first game he pitched against Leicester, that was an awesome game. 86 pitches. That's all it took. And they pulled him.
But chicken and beer, baby.
Chicken and beer, baby. Boys club. But to get to next year with the Cardinals, I mean, if Haywood does leave, I mean, the only way he re-signs with the Cardinals if he's not asking for the moon, which I think there will be a team out there that will give him the moon. But that Stephen Piscotty came up. That kid looks really good. Randall Grichuk looks like a 30 home run hitter. Holiday will be healthy again next year. Matt Adams will be healthy again playing first base. You still got Wong, Peralta, Matt Carpenter, and Yachty back.
Hmm.
I still think they'll contend for that division again.
They're too good of an organization, as much as Scott hates to admit it, but they do have a good organization. I disagree with people saying they're the best fans in baseball, but terms of their farm system and the way they run their organization, they are one of the best.
And I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, they really ran into a buzzsaw. I don't think it's a huge indictment on them that they lost that series. I mean, the Cubbies are hot right at the right time. And the Cubs were a great team this year, and they have upped their game in the playoffs.
Mm. A great team in a tough division.
I got to admit.
Goes without saying that it's a tough division.
I got to think. I think, honestly, Schmitty, and I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I think I could see the Cardinals finishing third next year, because I think just based on the future and the youth of the roster, I think the Cubs and Pirates are both ahead of the game than St. Louis right now. Well, so I don't know.
It'll be a three-horse race, just like it was this year.
Yeah, except I think it might be in reverse. I think the Cardinals are going to be the ones bringing up the rear.
Could be.
So, all three.
Would you be surprised if all three of them made the playoffs again next year?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, all three teams are completely loaded. To say they're going to finish behind the Cubs and the Pirates, I mean, frankly, that could put them with just everybody else in the major leagues.
Well, yeah. They had the three best records in the major leagues this year.
Yeah.
All three of those teams.
Yep. Now, having said that, we have 2 Game 5s today in the ALDSs, and one is probably about to wrap up, and it's going to give us an awesome American League Championship Series. But we'll talk about the Royals in a minute, because Kendry Morales just hit a 3-run homer off of Dallas Keuchel, so the Royals have a 7-2 lead in the 8th. So Kansas City, after pretty much being left for dead in the 8th inning of Game 4 when they were down 6-2, showed some pride and showed some guts and got to Game 5, and now they're gonna play the Blue Jays.
I have to be honest with you, I didn't think the Royals were gonna make it back to the ALCS.
I didn't either. To be honest, I didn't think they were gonna have this good a regular season. To be honest with you, we had said on the extra point that I thought that Cleveland was the best team in this division, and boy, that didn't come to fruition much at all. So, but let's talk about this game in Toronto, because this is just ridiculous. Texas took a 3-2. It was 2-2 in the top of the 7th. What happened was, with 2 outs in the 7th, Sinshu Chu was at the plate. Let me see if I can play this out. Russell Martin was throwing the ball back to the mound, and the throw hit Chu's bat, which allowed Odor to score from third and gave Texas a 3-2 lead. Home plate umpire Dale Scott had initially ruled it a dead ball, but after Rangers manager Jeff Banister questioned the call, the umpires huddled and Odor was sent home and Martin was given an error, which led to an 18-minute delay because the classy fans of Rogers Center decided to throw trash on the field. But the rule is, and the umpires, believe it or not, got it right, even though they should have got it right the first time instead of having to fix it. If the return throw hits a player or the bat at the plate, it is a live ball. Yep. That is the rule.
No, the umpire called it wrong originally.
That's... The umpire called it wrong originally, which caused the – if they had called it right originally, I don't think there would have been a problem. But then there was 18 minutes of – and then the Blue Jay fans are throwing crap on the field and then
– classy guys.
Yeah.
Classy
people. You know – never seen that anywhere before. So that caused a big furor. So going to the bottom of the seventh inning, Texas had a 3-2 lead on a disputed run, which was really the right call, but the umps should have got that right the first time. Not the first time in the last couple weeks that sports officials have screwed something up. We'll get to Saturday night at Dodger Stadium in a minute. But so the bottom of the seventh comes, and all of a sudden, three consecutive errors by Texas with nobody out. And then Josh Donaldson tied the game with a force out, and then another classy play. Well, I'll be 50-50 on this. Jose Bautista hits a three-run homer, so pretty much... four unearned runs. And Toronto wins the game 6-3 after falling behind 2-0. And they will probably play Kansas City. And I think that game actually just
ended. You know
what?
I hope somebody in Kansas City puts one right in his freaking ear. I can't stand when he flips that.
I can't stand anybody.
It drives me nuts.
I can't stand anybody in that lineup.
If the Royals are going to win that series, they're going to have to pitch inside and not let these Toronto hitters be comfortable at the plate.
I agree with you. So he flipped the bat. He did a bat flip, a pretty impressive one apparently. And then afterwards, and this caused the biggest thing, and that led the benches to clear after the flip. Then Edwin Encarnacion turned to the crowd. Well, here it is. Sam Dyson was pitching for the Rangers. Bautista hits the homer, glares at Dyson like Dyson did anything wrong. But all Blue Jay hitters do that. They all think we should be kissing their ass now that they're the greatest team in the world. Apparently, Edwin Encarnacion turned to the crowd and gestured for fans to stop throwing things on the field. Dyson thought Encarnacion was trying to whoop them up. So the bench is cleared again. And then after Troy Tulowitzki popped out to end the inning, the bench is cleared again. And then finally, 20 mounted police. I don't know if it was the Mountie or the Quebecers. Apparently, they lined the foul lines. Now, let's talk about two things first. Number one, once again, umpires / referees make a ginormous gaffe. Fortunately, they corrected themselves in enough time, but not before the Blue Jay fans had to throw crap on the field. That is the fourth time. We had an NFL screw up last Monday. We had an NFL screw up this past Monday. And then don't get me started on what happened Saturday night. That was just that whole thing is just a disgusting joke. The officiating and the umpiring in the last couple months has been absolutely abysmal. Teams opposing the Astros think that the umpires give Dallas Keuchel extra space on the strike zone. I don't know. It's just not been good. And I've always been upset, and I want your guys' opinion on this. I don't understand, and I've never understood this as a sports fan, why umpires and referees, collectively, you don't want to single out a guy for sucking, because that's not right. Why umpires and referees get protected by their respective leagues by getting fined? If I want to go after the post game, like Terry Collins Saturday night, or maybe even John Gibbons after this game, and say, the refs, this umpiring, the officiating in this game sucked. Why should they get fined? Because it does suck. Why are they? Why do umpires and referees always get protected by the league and get fined? Like, who the hell are they?
So they're employed by the league, right? And they're kind of an extension of the league. So essentially, that's like any one of us going to a podium and saying, "Wherever we work sucks. You can go play somewhere else."
I have to be honest with you. I agree with Roger there. I think you got it. You can't make it like the Wild West and everybody just start criticizing. Just like you said, even in your workplace, imagine just getting up and you know you're saying, "Oh yeah, this guy, he really sucks. You know, he's bad at what he does." Or, you know, I agree. You can't make it the Wild West. I mean, it's not that they're being protected. I'm sure they're getting reviewed behind the scenes, but
nah, it's bullshit.
Senior would have a lot to say about this, as he's a he does a lot of umpiring.
Refereeing. And if we remember it, well, you know, while he's got the Brady shirt on,
frankly, people are human. You know, they're going to make mistakes.
And frankly, Scott, they got it right in this game. I mean,
they should have got it right the first time, and then there wouldn't have been crap thrown on the field and fights breaking out.
You think if he wouldn't have blown it dead, if Russell Martin throws the ball after a ball. The ball hits Chu's bat, and they just let Odor score and just don't say anything. I think the crap still ends out on the field.
Well, then they would have been right the first time, and the Blue Jay fans would have looked like even bigger assholes, to be quite honest.
Well, I agree with Roger. I think you were going to have some kind of interruption anyway.
It's just such a weird play, you know.
Fans in the stands don't know the rules, so what they perceive to be a dead ball, you know, they would have been chucking regardless of whether they got it right or wrong.
Think of the Tuck rule. Completely legitimate. The right call was made. The Raider fans still think it was the wrong call because they're clueless morons.
Just like Blue Jay fans are, and then they throw crap on the field. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just don't have any patience for fans acting like that. I mean, Saturday night in L.A., the umpires really blew that call. And I'm not talking about Tejada getting hurt. We're talking, of course, about the Chase Utley slide. The slide itself didn't bug me. It sucks that Tejada broke his leg, and as a Met fan, I took that personally. But that's just me being a fan. But the second base umpire can clearly see that Chase Utley was like 4 feet from the bag, which means he slid out of the baseline, which means he should have been out, which means Howie Kendrick should have been out. And I would have had to worry about having to play tomorrow night. Because the probability could have still been there that the Mets win that game, blow them out in game three, and it's Mets Cubs Saturday night.
Now, I don't understand how they called Utley safe after looking at it on replay. Absolutely. Keith, do you have some insight there?
Well, once the umpire called him out, it's a dead play. So he didn't have to go back and touch the base. Had he been called safe originally, I mean, out. Excuse me.
Safe.
All right. I'm trying to. How do I phrase this here?
If he had touched the base, if he had been called safe, he would have had to touch the bag.
Right.
Because he's called out, it's a dead ball. He doesn't have to go touch the base.
Correct. There you go. And that's the rule. But he should have been called out for that slide, because he didn't slide. He tackled him.
Yeah, and he tackled him off the baseline.
He was past the base already.
Yeah.
He made contact with Tejada before he even hit the ground. I mean, that's an all-out tackle.
Yeah.
If Tejada would have gotten a throw off, they may have called them both out. But because he never threw the ball, the neighborhood play is off. That's why there was no review of, you know, was it a neighborhood play? Because he never threw the ball.
Because he got his leg broken.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to throw one-legged.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a great play by Utley, I guess.
It was a hard slide, but it's just the way he did it. I mean, he could have taken him out. He could have slid into the base and popped up with his hands and sort of, you know, just kind of took his feet out from under him. That's all he had to do. He didn't have to tackle him like that. But that's easier said than done. When you're running down the line, I mean, you got to think when he's coming in towards second base, he's not expecting Tejada to do that pirouette. He's expecting Tejada to to catch that ball and keep going, you know, out towards right field, you know, and then make the throw. So, you know, I think that kind of caught him off guard there with, you know, because it was a bad throw from Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was intentionally trying to try to break the guy's leg.
No, I don't think so.
No, he was just trying to break the double play up. But, I mean, he never hit the ground.
And he was, like, wasn't even near the base. No. Should have been out. Kendrick should have been out. End of story. And then this happens, and you almost get a riot. And then the Blue Jays players got to be douches, so that didn't really help matters. And I'm telling you, this Blue Jays Royal series, because there was a series.
Oh, you got douches on both sides.
Yeah, the Royals are not very nice guys either. I mean, they caused a few skirmishes. That series is going to be mean, because Ventura likes to throw close. Cueto likes to throw close. Some of the guys in the bullpen. It's going to be, and Josh Donaldson, who thinks he's, you know, suddenly Jesus, doesn't like when a ball is not right on a tee for him to hit a majestic home run. He's going to give glares and motherfuck people's mothers like he does every time a pitcher pisses him off. And it's not going to be a pretty series. It's going to be a fun, entertaining baseball series, but you're going to see, I guarantee you're going to see some ugly moments from both these teams because they don't like each other already. There were a couple of...
Can we talk about this series from more of a, like, an X's and O's perspective? I mean, it's pretty intriguing, but I think the Rangers had them. They had them dead to rights.
They did. Yeah, I agree.
And now the sleeping Giants awoke.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Jays in five. I don't think Kansas City shit starting pitching staff. Cueto pitched well tonight, but overall their starting pitching isn't very good. And that Blue Jays lineup is just ridiculous. And now they're coming
They woke the sleeping Giant, just like you said. The Rangers had them where they wanted them.
Blue Jays pitching not that great either.
Stroman and Price are pretty good.
Price is another one of those guys who I just don't think has playoff makeup. I think he's weak. Stroman is a kid, kind of like the Mets pitching staff. So he could be like a Steven Matz who might be a little over his head. He could be like a Jacob DeGrom who thrives in these moments, and Syndergaard for that, and Harvey for that matter. Or he could be like, you know. But Price, I don't know. Another guy who's a good regular season pitcher. And
it's really tough to say that with to base things on such a small sample size. You know, I mean, David
Price.
He's
pretty good in 2008.
David Price is a great pitcher. I mean, he's a lights out, top five pitcher in the major leagues, just like Kershaw. I mean, if these guys pitch enough in the postseason, you know, they're going to come back to the mean, right? And you saw that with Kershaw.
That's a good example, Junior, because Kershaw, his nemesis was the Cardinals. He got beat twice by St. Louis. David Price, the times he's been beaten in the postseason have been to Texas. That's the team that gives him fits, which is why Gibbons did what he did by starting Stroman in this game and having Price come out of the bullpen the other day. Mm. My opinion. But
that's a great coaching move. I mean, it's a ballsy coaching move. It's a great coaching move.
During that game when he brought Price out of the bullpen, just 3 hours earlier, you saw the Kansas City Royals score five runs in the top of the eighth inning. You know, they were down four going into the eighth. You know, it can happen. So, you know, people were saying, why is he bringing into a game when it's 7-1? Well, wait a minute. It's only the fifth inning. You know, and Texas can score now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can put up a five spot real quick.
Yep.
They get a lot of pop in that lineup. So I agree. I thought it was a pretty good move.
How do you see the series going, Keith?
Oh, I think it's going to be a long series. I think it's going seven.
I do too.
The Royals are going to have to hit. You know, they're going to have to bring their bats with them. This isn't going to be 3-2, 4-3 kind of games. These games are going to probably be decided by bullpens towards the end, and the Royals obviously have the advantage there. They still have a great bullpen, even without Holland. But, you know, I mean, if David Price comes out, you know, and shows the David Price from the regular season, starts throwing, you know, a shutout, he's probably going to pitch twice in this series. It could be for Texas. Now, Ventura and Cueto are the keys for Kansas City as far as starting pitchers. I think when you get to the 3 and 4 pitchers, Estrada and Dickey and Medlin, who's their other one? Volquez. I think those games will be 10-8, like I said, decided by the bullpen. So I think it's going to come down to the 4 aces. You know, whoever pitches better, whoever starts those games better will probably win.
Mm.
If I had to pick, I would have to go with the Blue Jays just because that lineup is so insane. I mean, they could do like the Cubs did yesterday. Just bring out the whooping sticks, hit 6 home runs. So, yeah, I'll take the Blue Jays in 7.
Okay. So we got Blue Jays in 7. We got Blue Jays in 5. What do you think, Doctor?
I'm going with Roger. I think it's going to be Blue Jays in 5. The sleeping giant has been awoken, and I just think that this lineup is going to be hot, and I don't like the Royals starting pitching. So
okay,
I know our friend Chris would not like hearing that, but just from a – I would like to see the Royals win, you know, as a fan, but if I'm going to do this as an analyst, I have to go with the Blue Jays.
I think Kansas
City. I hate doing because I just can't stand that team. I can't stand it all. Ugh. Even what that city did tonight just drives me nuts.
I like Kansas City in 7. I think it's going to be a protracted series, and good pitching beats good hitting. And I have a feeling the Royals will be a little more resourceful in scoring runs than than I think Toronto will. So I'm going to put my chips on Kansas City's pitching instead of Toronto's lineup. Remember, it's a best of 7. David Price could still win 2 games in the series and the Blue Jays still lose. So, right. I think David Price will pitch well. I think he will recover a little bit, but I think Kansas City just knows how to win right now. You know, this is second straight. It's kind of weird to say an experienced playoff team like the Royals, you know, now after all the years of not, but I think Toronto's going to, I think they're going to start hot, and I think at some point in that series, I think they're going to hit the wall. I do, but we'll see.
Who had the better record?
I think the Royals will have home. Let me double check. I think the Royals will have the home field. Let me confirm that. The Rogers Center is a tough place to play. Let's see. Toronto won 93 games, and Kansas City won 95. So the Royals will have the home field.
Okay.
So game 1 Saturday night at Kauffman. And I think that's a big deal. But as we saw, the Blue Jays, you know, they came back from the dead and won 2 games on the road. But, I mean, Texas is not Kansas. Kansas City isn't Texas. Texas pitching is pretty dreadful. Now, tomorrow night, game 5, Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Zach Greinke and Jacob DeGrom. I'm confident, and if I could be confident and concerned at the same time, I'm confident because there's a difference between Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw. Zach Greinke is a good pitcher who had a great year. Clayton Kershaw is a great pitcher. They're 2 different guys. Clayton Kershaw is a stud. He showed it Tuesday night in game 4. 3 days rest. The monkey on his back that he's a terrible postseason pitcher, and the Dodgers were 9 innings away from being eliminated, and he pitched his ass off. Other than Daniel Murphy's home run, not one Met passed first base. And I'm getting the flu from the breeze coming from my screen as every Met strikes out. And that's my concern. This lineup has been abysmal in these first 4 games. Take away the fact that they mangled the crappy end of the Dodger pitching staff in game 3. They've had to have struck out 50 times in these first 4 games. Close to it.
You and Dodgers did, too. Dodgers lineup wasn't that great either.
No, but it is. I agree with you on that. But well,
You said it about 2 minutes ago. Great pitching beats great hitting.
Yep, I agree.
And both teams have great pitchers.
Yes, they do.
I mean, like you said, what happened game 3 when you're throwing out Brett Anderson and Alex Wood? Bam, the Mets look like the 27 Yankees.
Yep.
True.
Yep.
But Zach Greinke, to go back to what you said,
yep.
Zach Greinke is a great pitcher. I mean, he's overshadowed by Clayton Kershaw because he's otherworldly, but Zach Greinke is an ace on any other team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to watch this game. I think that's a great pitching matchup because DeGrom is also an ace. He's young, but, I mean, he was nails game one.
Yep.
He pitched really well. This is going to be whoever makes that one mistake, whoever hangs a slider, you know, it could be Cespedes going opposite field again. Could be another Daniel Murphy shot. Could be Jock Peterson with his eyes closed swinging at a curveball. Because, you know, if he does make contact, it goes a long way. I see this one just like game one. 3-1, 3-2. I can't wait. This is going to be a great game to watch. I know that.
Obviously, the Cubs probably leaning towards the Dodgers because, it doesn't matter either way because the Cubs won't have home field either way. Winner of game five will host the NLCS.
I don't think either the Dodgers or the Mets have a shot against the Cubs.
I hate to say it. I don't think so either. And not because of the pitching, because the Mets pitching is excellent. And if there's a staff, if there's two staffs that can shut the Cubs down, it's the Dodgers and the Mets. The Mets, I think, have an edge because they have more of it. I mean, what's Mattingly going to do, pitch Kershaw and Greinke every other day? The Dodgers
They'll throw four games. They'll throw four games out of a series.
Yep. Problem is, you've got a gap in the middle.
Right.
You could.
They could possibly both pitch game seven as well. But
true.
With both of these teams, with the staffs that they have, you can't count them out against anybody.
No.
I mean, they both. I mean, to beat the Cubs, you know, if you have guys who can beat Arrieta, that's a start right there. And both of these teams do. You know, I mean, it's I would probably favor the Cubs against either one of them. I agree with that. But
don't forget John Lester.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little bit of a notch below some of these other guys.
my personal opinion, he'll start game one. They'll both be rested. I think they'll go at Lester with game one.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is both of these teams, their biggest hitters are left-handed. I mean, I know Cespedes is probably the best hitter on the Mets, but that's one right-hand. Well, and David Wright, but Duda, Granderson, and Murphy. Those are their key offensive players.
They're going to be the key on Thursday, and I think, Greinke's a great pitcher. He's got a good changeup. He's got a good slider, but you know he's got a 95, 96 mile an hour fastball. And the guy that I've that's banged my head against the wall all series is Lucas Duda because I feel like he comes up, swings at three pieces of shit, and then sits back down. I feel like he's done that this whole series. He is the one that might find a fastball in his wheelhouse, if anybody in that Met lineup. Daniel Murphy has been pretty much the best hitter on the team, even better than Cespedes. Yeah.
He's going to look good in Boston next year.
You might be right. Where would he play, Schmitty?
First base.
Mm, I don't know.
What about Hanley?
Oh, Jesus. Oh man, please.
Gary Cohen, it's funny. Gary Cohen, the Mets play-by-play guy on SNY said on WFAN today that he doesn't think the Mets will sign either Murphy or Cespedes, which is if they don't do that then they'll go back to being mediocre or crappy.
Definitely not Murphy. I don't think they're going to sign Murphy.
I think
Daniel Murphy's better suited as a first baseman. I mean, he's playing second base right now, but he don't belong there.
Honestly, I would rather he play first base for the Mets and they trade Duda.
I'll tell you the truth.
Well,
I think
if they can get rid of Duda, but I mean, I'd rather have a 30-homer guy than...
Oh, I would rather...
I know Murphy's a good hitter.
Right.
But he doesn't have 30-homer potential like Duda.
I could see Daniel Murphy winning a batting title. He's that good of a hitter, I think. Yeah. I think if he's given a position, I think he'd be comfortable at first base. And if he could be everyday
25
first
doubles off the Green Monster.
Hardly possible. There'll be a lot of suitors for Daniel Murphy.
Well, hitting right now, it's like, you know, obviously with the steroid era over, I mean, you hit 25 home runs, 100 RBIs, you're going to be making $25, $30 million a year now. because you can't. It's not an easy thing to find anymore.
Yeah.
Let's get on the record about tomorrow night. I'm really, really looking forward to this game. Yeah. There's nothing like a pitcher's duel like this mm-hmm. in the postseason. I picked the Dodgers at the beginning. I'm gonna stick with it. They're gonna win 1-0, and it's not neither starter is gonna give up a run. That's my
prediction. Really? Because you think it's gonna be a pitcher's duel? It'll be one of those games that'll be like 10-8.
I certainly hope it's not.
I cannot see that.
I can't see it happening, but
not with these two guys. These two guys are lights out. I mean, but they're both so good, and the lineups are not. I mean, the lineups are good, but not fearsome. I think it's got pitcher's duel written all over it.
Yeah,
Scott, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The Mets are going to pull it out. Wilmer Flores is going to hit a home run to win the game. How about that?
It doesn't surprise me. And I think the one thing I think the Mets did in game four that I think may help them tomorrow night is they did stretch Jansen a little bit. He did have an off day. He'll pitch. I mean, I'm sure they'll bring him in.
He'll throw two innings if he has to.
Yeah, and of course, Mattingly threw the whole thing out. That can Kershaw pitch? Can he throw 15 pitches if need be? I can't see that happening, because then if they win that game, then they're going to have, games 1 and 2 at home against the Cubs are going to be again. Who are they going to have? I mean, you can't have either guy for either of those games, really. So. I don't see that happening.
The key for the Mets would be to get Greinke out of the game by the seventh inning.
That's the problem.
And dip into that bullpen.
I agree.
Drive that pitch count up.
I agree with you.
Take pitches. But the problem is, if you take too many, he's got the ability to throw those off-speed pitches for strikes.
Yep. They have to be patient at the plate, because the opposite is then they just start swinging and they miss.
if you've watched Zach Greinke pitch, he gets a lot of swing and misses on those off speed pitches out of the zone, just below the zone.
Yep.
So I mean, it take a lot of discipline to lay off that pitch. I mean, when it comes out of his hand, it looks like a strike, and then you swing and the thing's almost in the dirt.
Yep.
But they do have a patient lineup.
They do.
Those guys.
The top of the order is very patient. I mean.
Yeah.
You're going to see.
Granderson will probably see 20 pitches by himself.
Yeah. Yep. Same thing with David Wright.
Yeah.
And he has to, because I've seen David Wright's age, because he can't catch up on fastballs like he used to. So he's the one that's going to have to be very just as picky about.
He's had some really good at bats, though.
He has good at bats. He has had good at bats. He had a great at bat.
Had the results.
Right.
But.
No, I agree with you. And yes, I like Flores, but I think if somebody gets a big hit off of Greinke, I do have a weird feeling it'll be Lucas Duda, because you want to talk about a guy that's more than due for something big. Yeah. Greinke.
He is, but he's the streakiest hitter on that team.
Unbelievable.
If he goes 0-for-3 with three punchies tomorrow, it would not shock me one bit.
Me neither.
And Cespedes will not get a pitch to hit. Zach Greinke will not give that man a pitch to hit.
No, because Cespedes chews righties up like gum. He is going to give him four pitches in the dirt in a row.
And if he swings, he swings.
Saturday.
If he doesn't, oh well, take your base.
No?
I'll try the next guy.
Michael Conforto hit a P. Kid's a kid, and he hit a P off of Greinke on Saturday night. So
another good rookie in these playoffs.
Yep.
Huh? This
yep.
is the playoffs for rookies.
It is playoffs for rookies. I agree.
Unbelievable.
You got Seager. He's a guy that scares me. But he looked overmatched against DeGrom in game one.
The Mets pitchers are really good.
Yeah, I mean
Matt's. If Matt's is your worst pitcher, you're doing all right. That kid's damn good. He threw a good game.
He did. He had one bad inning. So did Harvey. Harvey had one bad inning, but Harvey just exhausted his pitch count too much. That's why he didn't last more than five innings.
Harvey's saying he's available tomorrow.
Do
you believe it?
It's 2 days. I mean, he's probably saying that just so he doesn't look like that Scott is in his ear again. Yeah,
trying to get some favor with the fans.
I think so. I don't know if Collins will use him.
Matt Harvey will be traded before Thanksgiving.
Perfect deal.
Win or lose, he will be gone.
I got a perfect deal, and I think the team would bite. Matt Harvey and Lucas Duda for Paul Goldschmidt.
Oof.
I don't think you can. I don't think they trade Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I don't like. He might be on that untouchable list.
If anyone's on it, might be. He should probably be on it.
I mean, yeah, Arizona. I don't know when. I don't know when his contract's up, but Arizona will never pay him. So.
Well, I think they still have him for at least 3 more years.
Yeah, probably.
But they're going to pay. But they're going to pay Harvey.
Exactly, Harvey. And the way this kid is, Harvey. I mean, he seems like a giant head case.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be traded. I don't think the Mets want to deal with him or Boris anymore.
Nope.
There's a lot of friction between Harvey and the team.
Big time.
Because of Boris. I don't think Harvey has anything to do with it. I think he I think
you know what? I don't go for that bullshit. Your personal responsibility. Boris works for him. If he didn't want that stuff to be done, then he has control over it. I'm so tired of players blaming the agents.
If he did that behind his back, all Harvey had to do was say, you know what, he should shut his mouth. He works for me. I'll take care of that. I'm pitching. That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say, and it would all be. Matter of fact, the fans would have loved it if he said that. But no, he went along with it. Oh, you know, I'm not going to answer this question. I'm not going to answer that question. 180. But, come on, and then not showing up to that practice. Right before the series started. That was terrible.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
How do you do that?
Oh, I was stuck in traffic. What time did you leave your house? You know?
Especially for an organization that, you know, was excited about being back in the playoffs after whatever, 8 or 9 years, and you pull this BS, and you know that it's going to get magnified in New York. Come on.
Yeah. That's why I don't see him staying there at all.
I don't either. Zach Wheeler's due back. I think All-Star break next season. Nice will be back in the rotation. I don't think they re-sign Colon.
No, Colon's done.
He's gone. I think he should just retire. He had a great career.
They should keep him as a pinch hitter, though, I think.
Yeah, I think with, and I tell you something, with full spring training and the opportunity and the knowing that they have slots in the rotation, I think Syndergaard and Mats next year are going to have ridiculously good seasons.
And DeGrom.
And DeGrom is, I think he's the ace. He's the ace. So we'll see. I'm hoping. I would love Mets Cubs. I think Fox would like Mets Cubs. I mean, Dodgers aren't chopped liver. I'm not saying that. But I don't think, just because
they're going to get a good matchup with either team.
So yeah, I just don't think the Dodgers have depth in their rotation to have that series go longer than 5 games.
No, they have those two at the top. And then once you hit number 3, that's batting practice.
I mean, Brett Anderson's a bum. It's pretty safe to say. So what do you think? Do you think Jason Stark said it on ESPN on Mike and Mike this morning. He says pretty much short of having to win the whole thing, Donnie's gone.
Yes.
Because
at least make it to the World Series and make it a series.
Yeah. They lose tomorrow, he's done.
He's done.
Yeah, and that sucks.
Be honest with you, I he needs to get out of there. I'd be happy if he got out of there, to be honest. I can't stand that city with another classless city.
What happened to the Dodger fans? He beat the shit out of their opposing fans. I mean, when did they become such assholes? They usually show up late and leave early. I mean, now all of a sudden they're picking fights in the locker room or in the parking lot, and good grief.
I think Don Mattingly should be fired just for starting Carl Crawford the first 2 games of the season.
I agree with you on that. You want to talk about a guy that swings like a rusty gate? Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Or as my brother says, he swings a wet newspaper. I mean.
What happened in Dallas right after? Didn't a Cowboys fan, like, shoot a Patriots fan? Did you guys see that?
Did that really? No, I didn't hear that.
There was look it up. There was a shooting in the parking lot after the game.
No kidding.
That wasn't me, I promise.
That's your lot, Scott.
Oh, freaking fans are, like, losing their minds. What the hell?
That was not me. I would never do that.
It was something like that. There was definitely a shooting, and I believe it was that was the case. But I could just be spreading propaganda too.
Romo,
I'm just giving Senior a reason. That's all I'm doing right there.
Romo apparently shook Brady's hand after the game and said, "I'll see you in February." What?
Oh, boy.
At the Brady's Super Bowl party at the end of the
year. If I remember, I'll have to mention that to Senior in the next segment. I had no. That's hilarious.
You gotta like that confidence, though. That's good.
Yeah, By the time him and Dez are healthy, they'll be 2-8. So I don't know how the hell that's. Right. Gonna
be. And then six game winning streak may win the division.
That is entirely true. That's entirely.
You know, I would have liked to have seen that game full strength. I think it would have been a great game.
Romo and Bryant
were healthy. I think it would have been a really good game.
So, well, we'll talk more about that.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to be the starting wide receiver for the Giants on Monday night. So
all right. So since you're
– Yep.
Since you're tagging out Doctor and Senior's joining us in the next set, we'll give you a couple minutes. You were frustrated Sunday night, but Eli did his hillbilly assassin thing. We're going to talk about the Giant Eagle game in the next segment, but I like your chances in this game.
You know, I don't know what to say every week because, and I mean, who's gonna be the wide receiver?
Lionel Manuel.
I mean, it's. Let's put it this way: it could be a nice, good old fashioned shootout on next Monday. I mean, the Giants have a shot. Obviously, you don't know what Eagles team's gonna show up from week to week. But this would be a very big game for the Giants, to then go four and two, still lead the division, and got where we went from where I was 0-2, ready to jump off the ledge to maybe possibly having a good shot at making the playoffs. That'd be a good thing. But they scared me this past week. I mean, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That defense scares me sometimes. It's like. We get your lead, all right. Now goes the lead. You know, it's like, and then you know, is Eli going to be able to pull off those drives all the time? You know, that's a tough thing to do throughout a whole season.
Before we take a break, I guess there was just a stat that came up. Johnny Cueto is the first AL pitcher to retire the final 19 batters faced in a postseason game. Since Don Larson's perfect game in the 56 World Series.
Wow.
Not a bad stat.
Think that's worth $200 million?
I don't know, because before that he pitched like crap. So.
Yeah, I know, but people remember the last thing they see. So.
I agree.
No, it's true. You know what? The playoffs make some people's careers.
Yeah.
Oh, John Lester got $155 million, and it wasn't for his regular season numbers.
That's for sure. Doctor, I'll see you next week.
Hey, real quick on a serious note, as we're taping this, just want to send the thoughts and prayers out from the Sports Evolution to Lamar Odom.
Yes.
You know, you're a URI guy, and addiction's a terrible thing that affects families and lives everywhere, and we really hope you pull through, Lamar, and we're behind you.
Yeah, agree. Former Ram, former Laker.
I mean, besides his addiction, which causes a lot of issues, he's also very good to others in his community. I just was watching something on the news before, and they were just saying like how he's helped people get their lives back together. Apartments, cars, kids getting for school, and so I mean, like you said, addiction's a bad thing, and a lot of people fight with it. But as a person, he's got a good heart, and so you just hope that you get through this. But this, it looks pretty critical at this point.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot of really good people, and it's a disease like any other disease. Yep. And we really hope he pulls through and can get things straightened out, but it's just a terrible, terrible thing.
For those that may not know the story, a Nevada sheriff says a person who called 911 to report that Odom was found unconscious at a brothel said the former NBA star had been doing cocaine and had taken sexual performance enhancers. He had been using coke and up to 10 tabs of whatever this enhancer was over the previous 3 days.
Yeah, it's like an herbal, like Viagra, they call it.
Yeah. And he's still on life support. So we definitely say prayers out to a guy who's got rings and again, who's been all over pop culture over the last few years, married to one of the Kardashians, and again, great in his community. And again, a former Ram who, was he on that team in 98? He was, right? Cowboy? Was he on that team?
No, that was Wheeler and Mobley.
Wheeler, Mobley, right. By the way, Wheeler's still an assistant at Fairfield View. All right, so definitely our prayers out to Lamar Odom. All right, when we take a break, Doctor, we'll talk to you next week. Doctor's tagging off to Senior, one tag team wrestler to a tag team partner to another. When we come back from the break, we will preview week 6 of the NFL season. Cowboy will wax vitriol on Pat's Colts. We got
deflate this
Seattle and Carolina, and I have 2 stunning upset picks. One of them, I think Cowboy may faint. We'll let you know what that is after the break. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscolo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We feature the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClun Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is a home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network. That's the Pro Wrestling Only, Place to Be Nation, Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
And welcome back, Place to the Nations, episode 6 of Your Home for Everything Sports, Sports Evolution. Scott Criscolo, the Cowboy, Roger Morissette, Schmitty with us as well. The doctor had to bow out. He kind of tagged in. He tagged in his partner. So the doctor joined us in segment 1 for baseball and joining us in for segment 2 for football, because if this guy doesn't get to talk about this game he's been waiting to talk about for 5 weeks, I think he may lose his mind. And that is Cowboy Senior. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Can't wait. Sunday night's coming, baby.
Look at him. Look at him, Cowboy. He's salivating right now.
Somebody's about to pay a heavy price.
Oh, God. So let us talk about week number 6 in the NFL season. Some interesting games this week, guys. A couple that were supposed to be really good, but now probably aren't due to injuries and the struggle of players. But another game, so a couple other games have kind of stepped to the fore and actually have turned into pretty good matchups. Thursday night, we have the Falcons and Saints playing down at the Dome. I can't see this game. I mean, the Saints, other than beating the Cowboys, and I'd like to talk about them as little as possible, the Saints have really struggled this year so far. We know that. Falcons are undefeated. But is this like a trap game for the Falcons? Schmitty, what do you think? Is this like a trap game for the Falcons?
Well, traditionally, the Saints play really well at home. At least they have in years past. They did show a little bit of life. They can definitely score. I mean, Atlanta's defense is okay. But I can see Breeze, you know, if that shoulder's getting healthy, I could see him putting up some points. But I cannot see the Saints holding Atlanta under, I'd say, maybe 28 points. So if the Saints can pull it out, it's going to have to be a shootout win. This is going to come down to turnovers, the turnover battle, and could be whoever has the ball last wins. I think that's the only way the Saints can win is a shootout.
So Keith, I'm calling my shot. It's good to have you back, Keith. By the way, you and I haven't been on a show together in a while, and just wanted to say that. But calling my shot here. Julio Jones is going to be at about 50%. Falcons are 5-0. They don't, you know, it's nice being 5-0. They're going into New Orleans. New Orleans, desperate team. Breeze looks fully healthy. The Falcons defense is shit. Saints win this game.
Okay.
You're stealing my thunder, Cowboy, because, well, not really. You got there first, but I was picking the Saints, too. Very unimpressive performance by the Falcons last week, having to go to overtime at home to beat the Redskins, winning it on a pick six in overtime. I just don't think this, you know, I think they're, I'm not saying the Falcons aren't a really good team, but I don't, you know, let's face it, the Falcons aren't going undefeated or anything. You know, if the Falcons go 12-4 or so, it'd be a heck of a season, and they're going to lose some games, and this definitely looks like one that they're going to lose. That defense is ready to be picked apart. Breeze looked better. He's finding some new weapons. He's got Willie now. And I just see this as a game that the Falcons lose. You know, they're going to lose some games, and this is where they don't get to 6-0. The Saints win tomorrow night. I'm with you, Cowboy.
Falcons have given up the most receptions to running backs in the NFL this season. So,
CJ Spiller day.
A little bit of a sleeper, but I think Spiller Ingram has been Ingram's been catching a lot of passes out of the backfield too. But I think they're going to work. They're going to work Spiller. They're going to work Ingram. It's going to. I just like the Saints in this game. If Julio was himself, I would be with you, Keith, in that I don't think they could hold the Falcons under 35. But with him at half speed, with that 5-0 record, I mean, Devontae Freeman can't keep this up, right? I mean, maybe.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Can the Saints stop the running game? Because not only that, but Tevin Coleman's going to be 1 week healthier with the ribs, and that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Coleman looked good week one.
So, absolutely. I mean, and Freeman looks like the second coming of Barry Sanders.
Right, Eric Dickerson reincarnated.
Another scary thing is looking at the fact that the Saints did give up 39 points to the Eagles last week. Thing is, that was on the road. And historically, New Orleans is a different team when they play at home. Mm-hmm. They really need this one. I just think it's a spot. It's a spot where the Redskins win. It's a spot where Atlanta loses, just the way I see it.
The Saints
the Saints are going to win. The Reds, if you say the Redskins are going to win, Justin's going
to My bad. I had that Redskin thing on my mind. Sorry that Atlanta struggled with the Redskins last week. Yeah, it's a place. This is just a spot where New Orleans wins, where Drew comes up big on national television, has one of his big games, and pulls the Redskins. Pulls the Saints through this game.
Senior, how much sleep have you gotten in the last 72 hours? I'm stumbling all over the place.
Well, it's you know what? It's okay, Senior, because we're going to talk about that game next as we dive into the Sunday schedule.
Not
that game. That game comes later.
Senior, you're loopy. Have you been drinking?
Drinking some
Springs next to
Yingling Oktoberfest? let's talk about the Redskins as they head to MetLife Sunday to take on the Jets. I see this as a win for the Jets. They're playing good defensively. I still see issues with the Redskins on offense. They kept the Falcons close, but Todd Bowles just seems to have this team very disciplined. I don't know. What do you think, Cowboy?
Yeah, I like the Jets in this game. I do think the Redskins are not as bad as I thought they would be at the beginning of the year. They're a respectable team. Their defense is kind of sneaky good, and I do see the game being low scoring, but I don't think the Redskins offense is going to be able to get a whole lot done in this one, because the Jets are, you know, the Redskins offense for the most part is based on that three-headed monster at running back, and the Jets are just so hard to run on, and it's 17-13 Jets.
Yeah. Sheldon Richardson coming back this week, so that line's going to get even better.
Mm.
Yeah, Jets at home, coming off bye week. The Redskins aren't really good. I mean,
no Jordan.
I don't know. Last week we got a sneaky terrible on somebody from Cowboy. This week we get the Redskins defense sneaky good. Yeah, they might be sneaky good enough to hold the Jets in the low 20s or something, and then they themselves probably won't even be able to score. I don't see the Jets having too much trouble with the Redskins this week.
Who was sneaky terrible? The Chargers?
You had somebody's deep. Yeah, the Chargers.
Yeah, the Charger defense was sneaky terrible.
Sneaky good. We got a lot of sneaky.
Only thing we realized in that game is that the officiating is blatantly terrible, not sneaky terrible, and that goes over multiple sports.
I mean, talk about the umpires. The Chargers defense was sneaky terrible in that fourth quarter. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They're the only thing that could make Vic look like a confident NFL quarterback.
Yeah. So I think we all pretty much feel confident Jets should win at home. Yeah. This was a game that probably had some shine on it early in the season, but you know, some of the main pieces are not there. The Steelers coming off this bonkers win Monday night against the Chargers host Arizona, your Cardinals, Cowboy.
Nothing to laugh at with those Cardinals.
No, not at all. I'm just laughing at you because you have multiple teams. I don't think this game's going to be as close as people think. Yeah, the Steelers won on Monday night, but I like Arizona on the road here. I like Arizona. This is the first of two Super Bowl rematches this week. There's one later on in this schedule we'll talk about of two really awful teams. But here, of course, the infamous the Roethlisberger touchdown pass and then the fumble that wasn't a fumble by Kurt Warner that the refs didn't bother looking at. But I like Arizona here. I think they're going to go in disciplined. I think the defense is going to play well. I think Michael Vick's going to struggle, even with Bell running the ball well. I like the Cardinals on the road.
Hey, there's talk that Ben wants to play, that he might be back.
He wants because of Arians.
Yeah, well, Ben plays and he's somewhat himself, the Steelers are a completely different team. You know, if he plays, I give the Steelers a real shot in this game. If he's Ben Roethlisberger and he plays, just because their offense going at full tilt against the Arizona defense will be a great matchup to watch. But, yeah, the Steelers at home with Ben would be a different story. If Ben doesn't play, I agree. I like Arizona. But if Ben plays and is himself somewhat, I would say I wouldn't be so shocked to see the Steelers at home come up with this win.
Craig Keith.
If Ben does play, he's not going to have the mobility he normally has. So he won't be able to be taking those deep shots. He'll get killed in the pocket. But Martavius Bryant is coming back, so that's going to help big time, especially if they get into the red zone. But if Ben doesn't play, I don't even think Michael Vick will finish this game. He'll get killed. Arizona will beat him by 20.
I think so. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Ben's – I mean, I give 95% that Ben's not going to play. I mean,
yeah, I don't think he
wants to play, but I believe they're bye weeks the next week. I mean, it just – it doesn't make sense to play him against this defense at less than 100%, especially with the fact that they won this last week. So there's not like an air of desperation like in Dallas, you know. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, Scott, but it's the same kind of deal. But I think it'll be a close game. It's in Pittsburgh. Bell is out of this world. I mean, Bell can put that offense on his back. And it's just Vic is so bad, so inaccurate that, you know, I think Patrick Peterson, we'll say sneaky again. Patrick Peterson is sneaky burnable. He gets cooked a lot, and Brown can cook him. I just don't think Vic can get it to him.
Vic's not going
to
get it to him.
Yeah, he's. I mean, there's going to be nine guys in the box the entire game because they're not afraid of Michael Vic.
The one thing Vic still does well, though, and you saw it on the play to Wheaton, is throw a good deep ball. He still throws a good deep ball. So with Bryant back, if they really do stack the box like that, there is a scenario where Pittsburgh can hit a couple of big plays, win a close game. But I'm with you guys. I like the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just a good team. They're just a good team, and I don't think a good team loses to Michael Vick.
Yeah, the thing with the deep ball is you got to have extra time in the pocket for those receivers to run those routes, and I don't see that happening with this Arizona pass rush. They're going to blitz him like crazy.
It's a fair point, Keith.
Mm. Let's move to a team that's really suddenly hit hard times, and they had playoff talk on their minds. The Kansas City Chiefs, who are now 1-4 and now have lost their main offensive cog for the season, heads into Minnesota to play the Vikings. I think Andy Reid's cooked. I mean, they barely scored points with a healthy Jamal Charles. Now without him, I think they're done. Minnesota wins this game. I mean, they've got a better running game. And again, I'd like to think Alex Smith doesn't get unfairly, you know, battered. Because now he has no real supporting cast. They still don't throw to receivers. And I don't know. I like Minnesota at home in this game. I think Kansas City's in a lot of trouble for the rest of the season.
This game, I think, is really a toss-up. The one thing that...
Really?
Losing Charles hurts. But if you look traditionally with the Chiefs, they've lost Charles before. And generally, their offense doesn't really skip a beat that... You know, West or Davis will come in, or a combination of those two should give you a reasonable Jamal Charles impression at the end of the day. And the way you beat the Chiefs pass defense is really, really bad. But Teddy Bridgewater is also really, really bad. So I think this one comes down to a field goal either way. I'll pick Minnesota, but this is a candidate for the tractor pull game, Senior.
Definitely. I go along and pick Minnesota just on the basis of home field. That's basically it. I consider it a game, really, two bad teams. You know, like Scott mentioned, Alex Smith. And, you know, if you remember, there's still people that say, oh, San Francisco let the wrong guy go. And you know what? San Francisco really didn't have a good choice there. They had two bad quarterbacks, and they kept the athletic guy. Maybe they overpaid him and stuff, but... I think Alex Smith is a bum.
Hey, Kaepernick showed some signs of life last week. He played really good in that game.
Yeah. Well, that might be an indictment on the defense that he was playing against.
I know that the doctor would have, if he stayed on, lambasted the Giant defense, even though they did win. But by the way, I was wrong. Three Super Bowl rematches this week. Forgot about Super Bowl IV, Chiefs and Vikings. There is no there's no Joe Capp and Len Dawson in this game. And I don't believe Jan Stenerud is the kicker for the Chiefs. So, and I don't think Otis Taylor's a wide receiver either. Here's my, I don't know if you call this game an upset, but I'm calling one of two lock stock picks for me this week. Up at Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo, I believe, personal opinion, the Bengals will suffer their first loss of the season.
Oh, man.
No chance.
I couldn't disagree more, Scott. I mean, Buffalo.
EJ Manuel. That's all I have to say about that.
I mean, it's not even just that. I mean,
Both of their running backs
are hurt. So Williams and McCoy are probably both not going to play. It's going to be Boom Heron. Sammy Watkins is limping around. He's going to try to play. EJ Manuel. I think the Bengals might shut him out. Honestly, I don't see how Buffalo is going to move the ball.
I'm going to record that clip.
I see Buffalo with this.
I hope you're recording the whole show, Scott.
Well, I am. But I'm going to say, oh, am I? Shit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to take that little snippet because I think it's going to be a low scoring game, and I think Rex is going to draw plays in the dirt, and I think we will see Justin will agree with me at least. I think we'll see our first bad Andy Dalton game of the year.
Well, that's the only chance they have. Buffalo has to win this game is if playoff Andy Dalton shows up.
10-7, Dalton throws four interceptions.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's one of those games.
The new mature Red Rifle.
He looks good.
Scott, we're calling this the bold prediction of the year right now. Because honestly, I don't see it happening.
He just came back. I mean, I'm as big of an Andy Dalton basher as anybody, but what he did to Seattle last week was really, really, really impressive.
Yes, it was. I mean,
was it 17? Was it 17 in the fourth quarter or just 17?
Yes. 17 in the fourth quarter. Yes.
Yeah, and to come back and beat the Seahawks.
Big game. I agree.
If the Bills were at full strength, I would give them a better chance, but the Bengals have a good defense. I just don't see. I don't see EJ Manuel and Boom Heron and Chris Hogan going in there and being able to do anything.
And who was the guy that rushed for 199 yards against the Colts last year?
Jonas
Gray.
Yeah. Did you hear it? Well, I know you guys heard of him, but nobody else in the NFL did. So maybe Boom Heron rushes for 150 yards.
That was against the Colts.
We've all heard of Boom Heron.
Cincinnati has a defense. We could suit up Schmitty Sunday night, and he'd run for 200 yards against the Colts.
Telling you.
Let me add him.
This has been the most bizarre NFL season so far in terms of wins and losses so far. This is going to be one of them. Telling you. And this isn't my only pulling out of the proverbial butt pick. I got one coming up later too. Here's two teams that stink. I don't know, senior. This has got tractor pull written all over it. Bears and Lions in Detroit. This game's going to be horrible. This is a tractor pull game.
The Bears are looking a little feisty with Cutler back. I think they win this one.
I think they win it too, but this game's going to be bad to watch.
I think they win easy. You can really throw on the Lions.
And it's looking good. Jeffrey practiced again today, so it's looking like he's going to play. So
I don't even think they need him.
Have his weapons. And the Lions are terrible.
They're awful.
They're really in that. Like disarray. It looks like they've quit on the coach and the team has quit on Stafford all at the same time. Zero running game. Calvin Johnson looks old. Their defense sucks. I mean, they have a decent pass rush, but you know, Cutler's capable of throwing a couple of pick sixes. But the fact that the Lions are favored in this game really, really surprises me. I mean, I think that's just a real lack of respect for the Bears. They've won two straight, you know.
Hey, Cowboy, you said they quit on the coach. Is there a coach on the line, a head coach on the Lions sideline?
I know.
Is that a corpse that they
He's
just
stoic?
Is it a
He's
cadaver
stoic.
That they just stand up?
And it's not Wayne Fonts. Where have I been?
Jim Caldwell's a stoic individual,
they made
the playoffs with him last year. I mean, you know,
he made his big move last week, putting Dan Orlovsky in when the game was out of hand.
McConnell, baby.
That was just to save Stafford's psyche as much as he could at that point, you know? Would they commit five turnovers in the first half?
McConnell, go Huskies. Dan Orlovsky from the pride of Shelton, Connecticut.
I think Detroit's going to beat them pretty good.
Wow.
I really do. I think it's Calvin Johnson coming out party.
Wow.
It could be. I mean, Keith, that's not out of the realm, you know, against the Bears,
the Bears' defense is bad, so... I mean, if Detroit's going to win a game this year, this is their best opportunity right now.
So, yeah, Keith Senior, Scott. Mm-hmm. So last week, I mean, the game that looked like it was just between two shit teams that actually ended up being a lot of fun to watch was Tampa and Jacksonville.
Yep.
Do you see that kind of happening here, like a shootout between?
Yeah, it could
junk
be a
teams?
Shootout. Yep.
Yeah, but I agree with that on the turf.
Dan Orlovsky throws for 400 yards.
Well, Stafford started.
It'll be Stafford, but like I said, the Bears D is really not that good.
Right. Mm. Not really, really not
so,
that good.
I mean,
could be a shootout.
I can see Abdullah bouncing back this week as long as he holds on to the ball.
To the ball. Yeah, if they play
and Calvin Johnson, nobody in that secondary can cover Calvin Johnson. Mm. No one. So
I think Abdul is a stiff. I think he was all hype. But I do agree, Keith, that Johnson and Tate woke up last week and he's a viable threat out there too. So yeah, it's gonna be. I think it'll be a fun one because Forte's probably gonna catch 15 balls out of the backfield against Detroit's garbage pass defense.
I'll still stay with the Bears with all their weapons intact.
The Bears.
How about two tractor pull games at the same time? What does that mean? What do we go to like? Do we go to like bull riding after that, Senior?
Think,
or
you know, I think the actual it's tractor Jacksonville. Pull game, Texans Jaguars. We can just skip that one. I like Jacksonville.
Miami, Tennessee is another tractor pull.
It's
tractor pull week.
Wow, 1 o'clock games.
Really?
You don't think
the coaching change is going to change anything in Miami? I see them coming out. Look, it's either going to be one way or the other. They're either going to come out a house of fire and start kicking people's asses, or they're just going to completely tank and go 3-13.
I'm with you, Keith.
I think they're going to come out this week and put a hurting on somebody.
Yeah, I think they're going to get better. I think the defense is going to play better, and I think they're going to get Campbell strikes you as kind of a back to basics kind of guy.
Yeah,
and I think that they really just need to feed Lamar Miller on offense. I mean, he's a really really good player, and you know Philbin was asking Tannehill to do stuff that he just can't really do. You know, just Tennessee's run defense isn't very good. Just punch him in the mouth. Let those guys get off the ball. Feed Lamar Miller. I like the Dolphins in that one as well.
Is this Dan Campbell thing going to wake up the sleeping giant on the defensive line who they gave all that money to? Is Sue going to decide to play some football? That's a big question. I think he's dragging that team down.
I think in more pitch, in every
pitching about the defensive system. I'm sure he's happy they fired the coordinator. I would think that that a lot of guys on that team. Now this is the danger. There could be a lot of guys on the team that feel like the team really that the ownership really caved to Sue, getting rid of if they had any like for the guys that they got rid of.
Yeah,
because Sue bitched that he didn't like the defense.
He's such a piece of crap. He really
but,
is.
But with that said, he's also the kind of guy that when he's complaining like that. Do you think he's out there giving 100%? Honestly, I don't think so.
No, he wasn't. But is it a good thing to do? I don't know. You know where?
If it wakes,
let's put it
if
this
it
way.
Him,
what were you used to in New England? That's what wears on me. You know that I can't picture any guy coming in here and the team, the organization bowing to him and just changing what they do.
No, changing, they'd be out the door.
Changing anything. There's no player that they would do that for. I don't think it's a good thing to do that for a player. I thought they made a mistake giving a blockhead that much money. I don't care how good a player he is. And,
but with that said,
they looked like
surprised.
A pretty decent team. What the heck's happened to them? You know, Philbin coached them last year. They were 8-8 without Sue.
And they're going to be 8-8 with Sue. And I told you that at the beginning of the year. They got a little work to do to get there. But winning cures a lot of this crap that we're talking about. You know, if they come out and get a lead and win a couple of games, then no one and Sue is wreaking havoc like he's capable of, then no one's going to give a shit that he killed the coach and the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. If he comes out
the other side of that, if they lose this week at Tennessee, they could be looking at like 3-13. I think we all agree with that. This is kind of a pivotal game for them. If they go out and lay an egg against Tennessee, I mean, where's that locker room going then, you know?
Yeah. The next game, the Panthers Seahawks, that's my game of the week. You guys, that's the one I'm looking most forward to watching.
I am too. I like, I don't know, maybe I have a boatload of upsets because a game we'll get to another game that I think is a big upset. I think I like Carolina on the road in this game.
Seattle's so tough at home. I mean, I think the line is ridiculous. It's 8. I mean, I don't think the Seahawks should be favored by 8 over anybody right now.
Yeah.
And Carolina, I mean, if they can put pressure on Wilson, I mean, that Seattle line looks like shit. I mean,
awful.
He's on pace to take 70 sacks right now. Carolina can get some work done here. Cam Newton historically has been putrid against Seattle, like really, really bad. I think one touchdown in three games. So I'm going to go with Seattle because they're home, and I think I still hold to the belief that they're a good team, but they could, you know, they could very well lose this game. I'm going to pick Seattle, but it's with trepidation.
It just seems crazy to picture them 2-4. I think that's why you're going to pick them. You know, they're home, and Seattle 2-4 would be crazy. I'd love to see it. I think most of us would. I mean, this would be this is where they'd start hollering for Carroll's head if they go to 2-4 and lose this game.
That's unbiased analysis from you.
Well, I think they call for Carroll's head. I think they call for Carroll's head 5 minutes after the Super Bowl ended, because had he called a regular play instead of that nonsense, somebody else would have the trophy. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Malcolm Butler would have jumped in and pushed the ball and caught the ball.
Yeah, sure. Another upset. This one maybe
Lynch is coming back most likely for that game too. As an aside, and that should help Seattle.
Carolina does have a major league defense, and what you pointed out about their offensive line, you can picture Russell running for his life again.
Yeah,
probably the best thing is going to be to try to run on him. And you're talking about the pace that he's headed for in sacks at 70. What an indictment on an offensive line when you think of how many sacks that guy's avoided, on top of the fact that he's on pace to get sacked 70 times. We've seen the plays he's made avoiding sacks. He's unbelievable.
I don't think Dan Marino got
sacked. Just is really struggling.
I don't think Dan Marino got sacked 70 times in his career.
he wasn't quite as mobile as Russell Wilson.
I know, which is another indictment. It's crazy.
It really is an indictment in their offensive line.
My other big upset that maybe is not as crazy as my Buffalo pick, I think Cleveland beats Denver.
Whoa.
I think that's going to be a low-scoring game. DeMarcus Ware is not playing, I don't think. And Denver's defense is good, but I have a feeling Peyton's going to struggle. Cleveland's defense hasn't been that bad. And
they're real bad against the run. It hasn't but Denver been can't run the ball at all.
Denver might get real healthy rushing the ball this week, though. That's my opinion.
I mean, who would have thought Denver'd be 5-0 and it would all be defense? I mean, they're 5-0 and their offense hasn't even been good.
No,
it really
Manning,
hasn't. It really every, hasn't. Their offense has been bad.
By every metric, Manning's one of the worst five quarterbacks in the league so far.
They're winning because of their defense and because of their schedule. And this is another step on the schedule, you know? I mean, if they win a close game in Cleveland and get to 6-0, a close, low-scoring game, I still wouldn't be impressed. It's not out of the question that McCown and the Browns pull this off. Maybe Gary Bonage catches one with his tongue or something at the goal line.
Let's keep it clean, senior.
Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. Well, we did one already, Seattle and Carolina. Chargers coming off that, you know, heartbreaker Monday night, heads to Lambeau. Packers should win this, right?
Packers are going to score over 40 points.
Score at will on that San Diego.
I agree.
Sneaky bad. They're not going to be sneaky bad, the defense.
I think this is Eddie Lacy's breakout week.
Yep.
Personally. What do you think, Keith?
I agree. I don't see – I mean, I can see San Diego putting up some points late third quarter and the fourth quarter, but they'll already be down big.
I mean, San Diego's got a good offense. I mean, they can score. Green Bay's offense is out of this world. I mean, for San Diego to stay in the game, they'll have to score on every possession, I think.
Yeah, I can see this game where the punter doesn't get much work for Green Bay. Let's put it that way. If he punts more than three times in this game, that would be a shocker. Because I can't see San Diego stopping
You know Rodgers is pissed off about those turnovers last week, even though they won. I mean, he's going to want to come out and make a statement.
Yeah, particularly at home. Yeah, I like the Packers. I think we all think the Packers are going to go in here and finish this one off. This other 4 o'clock game, this is another – I don't want to say this is a tractor pull game.
A tractor pull game.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be entertaining because both teams are just right now just really bad, and it's the third past Super Bowl matchup of the week. As the Ravens head to San Francisco, Niners didn't look bad, and they might have had a chance to win this game against the Giants. The Ravens defense, I mean, I don't think anyone ever saw it look like this. But now, Flacco struggling. When Flacco struggles, you know, and the offense isn't moving, you know the Ravens are in a lot of...
They really, really need Steve Smith back. I mean, yeah. Flacco's struggling because he literally, I mean, he has nobody to throw to.
No, he doesn't.
He's got nothing. And, I mean, the Ravens' defense has been bad, but they are built in such a way that they'll probably give Kaepernick fits because they can still put a... They stop the run and they can still put a little heat on the quarterback. You can burn them, you know, with accurate passing, and that's not really Collins' thing. So I like the Ravens here with, you know, all the good play that Kaepernick had last week. He just comes right back down to earth in front of the home fans, and they're calling for Blaine Gabbert next week.
Hey, I'll go in disagreement. I'm going to pick the 49ers. I think Kaepernick gained some confidence last week. Actually looked good. I mean,
I think they win this game.
And I think the Ravens' pass defense is pitiful. That secondary is awful. And you say they put pressure on the quarterback? Not much. Not anymore. I don't see that Ravens pass rush anymore. I mean, it's a defense that you can just throw all over. Kaepernick takes up on that confidence he gained against the G-men last week, where he played really well. I mean, that game surprised me. I started watching that game thinking, I'm not even going to watch much of this. This is going to be a horrible game. It ended up being an entertaining game to watch, part because he played well, and they got their running game going a little bit. I don't know if they can run on the Ravens, but yeah, I see San Francisco at home winning this game. I think the Ravens have gotten that bad, and I'm pretty happy to say that, too.
I think that the best thing for the Ravens franchise is to kind of bottom out. I think they need to start. I think they need like a top five lottery pick. I think they really do. I think they need to. I think the whole chapter, kind of, you know, kind of like Jeter retiring for the Yankees, I think Ray Lewis retiring for the Ravens kind of should have closed the book on that chapter of their history. And I think they need like a top five lottery pick to kind of start from scratch, whether it's offensively or defensively, particularly defensively. I don't, you know, as we get into the spring and we talk more about the draft and some defensive players, particularly in the SEC, some of these defensive line linebackers, I think the Ravens need to kind of start from scratch. So I don't think this is the worst thing in the world. I mean, you don't want to say, yeah, I want to see my team stink. But I think for the Ravens franchise, I think they need kind of a cleansing. Those are my opinion. I think they need.
Isn't it kind of hard when you're in with the hard cap in the NFL and you're trying to manage it when you're paying a quarterback that's, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he's certainly not an elite quarterback, and you're paying him elite money. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard to put a good enough team around him that you can succeed.
Okay.
And I think that's part of their problem, too.
Right.
He didn't do take the Brady discount to help the team. He bet on himself.
Certainly not Brady.
He bet on himself. He had arguably the best postseason for any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I mean, he had like a Montana, you know, like eight season, you know?
I mean, he was unbelievable, and he cashed in. I mean, you can't blame the guy. And
if you look at his whole career, he's really not that good.
But he is good. Just he is good in the playoffs.
He's the opposite of Andy Dalton.
You got to get
the opposite
there,
of Andy Dalton.
You got to get to the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, Senior, I think it's a pretty far reach to say that Kaepernick's going to stand back in the pocket and pick the Ravens apart. I don't think their defense is good. I don't think Kaepernick.
Sucks.
I don't think Kaepernick could do that to a Boston College's defense right now.
He looked pretty good against the G-men last week. He looked really good.
What I could see is Torrey Smith breaking out against his old team, catching a couple of bombs.
That would be sweet.
if he goes for $150 and two touchdowns, it wouldn't shock me one bit.
There you go. I like the way you're talking, Keith.
I agree. I like the Niners at home too.
I'll be on the island on that doesn't have Colin Kaepernick on it. I'm happy to be there.
The 1940 NFL Championship game. The Washington Redskins defeated the Chicago Bears, or was it the other way around? No, I think the Redskins won 73-0. Senior thinks that's going to be the score at halftime on Sunday night at Lucas Oil Stadium. Oil will be seeping from the building, and it will be 199-0. No dogs will be called off, unlike this past Sunday where you guys probably could have dropped a good 30 more on the Cowboys. But I think this is going to be one of those. And Belichick's a spiteful prick anyway, so I think he will not call the dogs off, and they win this game by like five touchdowns.
If you... if you think back last week, Scott, I told you I was being kind of conservative, and I said Pats by 3 touchdowns. Pretty close, right?
It's only 13-3 at the half.
Yeah, well, I was talking about the final score.
Well, I know, but I'm saying at least it made it interesting for a while, but Brandon Wheaton
they were
sucks.
Up by 10 at halftime. I said, okay, they're halfway to the three-touchdown win, the 21-point win I talked about.
But Brandon Wheaton has – and this is my only Cowboy because they're off this week anyway, but Brandon Wheaton has – Brandon Wheaton has no business being pissed off that he's being benched for Matt Cassel.
He
should just shut up and sit down. He's lucky
he has
a job.
I mean, the Cowboys had some, you know, for a game that you lost by so much, there were some pretty good takeaways. I mean, their defense played the Patriots' offense better than anyone has Wheaton just couldn't do anything at all.
The
defense got tired. Yeah. With a reasonable quarterback, that would have been a close game, I think. I mean, he was just really, really, really putrid.
He does not throw a good deep ball. He doesn't stay in the – I mean, maybe this is the opposite of why Romo keeps getting hurt. Wheaton doesn't stay in the pocket. He rolls over in the dirt when anybody's within, like, you know, 5 yards of him. And he doesn't throw deep. They don't move the ball down the field.
He's just a bum.
He's a bum.
It's kind of sad to look forward to Matt Cassel. Isn't that bad? You're going to be better off.
I think they're going to be better off too. And of course, they play the Giants next week.
They would be better off with Schmitty at quarterback.
Yeah, I'll be better off with Schmitty playing anything.
We've got Schmitty all over the place.
We need Schmitty everywhere. All right, so it's comfortable to say that I think we all comfortably think that the Patriots are going to go in there. I agree with you, Senior. I mean, I'm not as vitriolic as you are, but is that a word?
Well,
here on Sports Evolution, it is.
Well, just a question I want to pose
sure.
everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
The line's only 8.
It should be 14.
That should
be 2 touchdowns.
I mean, and I'm not saying that from a betting
that's
perspective.
That's because it's a road game, that's why.
Not saying that from a betting perspective, but, I mean, what percentage of the money do you think is going to be on the Patriots? 95? I mean, who would take the Colts +8 in this game? And Luck might not even play. Solder just went. I mean, do you think there's any way the Colts can hang in this game, or do you think it's just going to be just an absolute bloodbath, Senior?
Bloodbath.
I do. I agree.
I've been saying all season long my take on the Colts, and I've been proven right since opening day. You punch that team in the mouth, they roll over like dogs. Well, they're going to get punched in the mouth, and then they're going to get punched in the mouth again, and then they're going to get punched in the mouth again.
Yeah.
The Patriots are going to be flying. I was listening to Rodney Harrison yesterday, and it was a great question. It was something I would have liked to have asked. They asked him, this stuff that we're all talking about, this revenge, and we want to pay these guys back, that fans like me and a lot of Patriots Nation are feeling in our hearts that we've had this game circled because of that. Is that just a fan thing, or do guys talk about that stuff in the locker room? And Rodney said, believe me, that talk is very prevalent in the Patriots locker room, because – what the Colts did was they put our guy through hell. They put the Patriots quarterback through hell. And every single guy in that locker room would run through a wall for Tom Brady. And you know they're talking about, we're going to make these guys pay big time. Big time we're going to make them pay. And also, you look at the matchup, and the Patriots have just physically beaten them up every time they've played them recently. You know, like you said, Jonas Gray rushed for over 200 yards. LeGarrette Blount had a game over 200 yards rushing. They don't stand up well. You say they just don't stop the run. Some people saying all that. I say that they're a wussy team that doesn't stand up to physical play. And they're going to be facing the most physically fired up team they've ever played. They're going to get punched out so bad. It's going to be the bloodbath we all want to see. I can't freaking wait. 8 points, that's a joke. Come on.
Do you think the loss of Solder, maybe not for this game, but long term,
is going to hurt? No doubt. He's a good player.
Could
yeah. We'll be
hurt,
okay.
Hurt a little bit. I think it could. I don't think so much in this game.
I'm actually legitimately sad, because will Senior be even half this entertaining when this game is over? And sure. And he's not as angry as any of the other teams. As any of the teams of Patriots play after this.
Senior is a man who will, like a guy, like Michael Jordan. Would, you know, someone gives him a look, innocuous stuff. Michael Jordan makes up these slights in his head, and he never ever lets him go, and it's what drives him. And Senior is the exact same way. The Patriots can win this game 56-0, and the Colts will do something, a cheap hit on Gronk, a block in the back, that Senior will hate them more after the game than during the game.
And then the beauty of it is, with the division that they're in, we got a chance to see them again in the playoffs. Yep. And it won't be at Lucas Oil Stadium that time. Can you imagine those turkeys rolling into our house? Can you imagine what that will be like? Oh, my. They won't even want to show up.
Wow. I don't think they want to show up. I mean, from an analytical perspective, it's tough to see anything but just a blowout for the Pats. The whole line thing throws me. I don't get. I think you could have made it 14 and everybody would.
It's just the way they do things with lines. You know, you're a 3-2 team and you're at home. 8 is a big underdog.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. If this game was in
Foxborough. No, we know that they're an imposter of a 3-2 team. We do know that.
But. If this game was in Foxborough, the line, I think, would be double digits. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
It's the same line as Seahawks-Panthers.
I see this as being a much more lopsided game. I mean, you can really give the Panthers a legitimate chance to win that game. I mean,
yeah.
There's nothing you can conjure up within your mind that gives the Colts a chance to win this game, barring some kind of a fluke injury happening or something. But I mean, you don't figure that stuff into lines, you know?
Yeah.
So do you think Belichick, if it's a blowout, tries to get a touchdown for like a defensive guy?
Yes.
And I see. Remember that Deion Lewis. Oh my God, I love the guy. That play last week was spectacular. He's just been solid, good every time he touches the ball. Everything he does. He was in the Colts camp last year and got released. He didn't make the team. I see Deion maybe having a big day Sunday night.
73-0. I would Redskins
say
Bears.
52-27.
27? Seniors.
That sounds about right. Well, you got to figure fourth quarter, you know, Luck's just going to be chucking it up. I mean, they do have some talent on offense.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys read the stuff tonight, but there's, like, real legitimate concerns that Luck's not going to play, that it's going to be Hasselbeck.
Who's not healthy himself, right? He's nicked up, too.
Well, he was sick last week. But he's all right. But do you think, I mean, with him in there, do you think they could score more than 14 points? I don't know.
55-13.
Oof.
I'm being conservative again, Scott, like last week.
I don't think they score a point. 49-0. No.
34-13.
I thought you were going to say 34-31.
I don't think you'll see the victory formation in this game. I think they will play until that final whistle blows.
Mm. I think
60 minutes of football, baby. That's what they signed up for.
I wouldn't doubt if.
Better be ready for it.
20 seconds left on the clock, and Brady throws a play-action 30-yard pass.
Oh, I agree. I think they will. And then
I think they should.
And then
the Colts absolutely deserve it. They are.
They
do. I mean,
they deserve to be embarrassed in their house.
You remember last week after the quarterback sneak touchdown? I mean, this isn't at you, Scott, but it was the first time all year we saw Psycho Tom come out.
Yep.
I think we may see him come out a number of times Sunday.
Anybody want to put money down on a fight?
The Colts don't have a guy on the team with the
That's true.
They don't fight. They roll over.
Gronk could throw someone else out the club.
Cheap shot,
as he says.
Brady hit late.
Well, if that happens, there'll be an all-out brawl.
I could see Belichick not even shaking what's his name's hand after the game, Chuck Pagano.
No, Belichick will shake his hand and whisper something a little cocky.
How'd that taste? How did that taste?
Yeah. Monday night, speaking of two teams that like to punch each other in the face, Giants head to Philly. And, I mean, I think the Eagles will be up for this game, but they're really no better than they were when the crappy Cowboys went in. I could see the Giants winning this game. Giants defense did not look stellar against the 49ers, but I like Sam Bradford almost less than I like Colin Kaepernick. And I used to be a big Bradford guy when he first was drafted. What do you think, Smitty? I like the Giants on the road this game. I like a lot of road teams this week.
Yeah, see, I think the Eagles offense got healthy last week to get some mojo going, and I think they're going to. Well, I'm not going to say they're going to blow the Giants out. It'll be a good game, but I can see Philly winning this game.
I like Philly big in this game.
Big? Okay.
Beginning of the year, I picked Philly to win the division and to make the Super Bowl. And Scott and George laughed me out of the room. you know, and
pretty much.
I believe if they win this game, that would be first place in the division, right? And
yeah, I wouldn't.
They got off to a rough start, but they it seems to be coming together for them.
Yep.
And again, piggybacking on what Senior said earlier. Did you see what Colin Kaepernick did to the Giants defense? I like Philly. I like Philly big. I mean, at best, Beckham and Randall are going to be hobbled. Both possibly could sit, which makes Shane Vereen the best receiver on the team. It's a recipe for disaster for the Giants going into Philly. 34-13.
Oh, okay. You're on crack.
Same score as the Pats.
No.
Okay.
Giants win 27-10.
Oh, no. No.
Okay, yeah, just when do we all of a sudden love Sam Bradford?
George isn't even here, Scott. You don't got to suck up to him, man.
But since when do we all love Sam Bradford? He sucks.
He's looked good the last 2 weeks.
He's terrible. No way.
Yeah, I'm going to say
no way.
Giants 27-24. I said last week, with the current state of the Cowboys being all with the injuries, the Giants were the best team in the division. I'm going to stand by it. Their defense slipped up last week, no doubt about it. But on the positive side for them, it was a – and my God, me giving this guy credit, you know, this is the new Senior. First I said good things about Roethlisberger. Now it's – you know, that was a real nice drive at the end of the game by Eli. He played really well, and he's been staying away from his signature pass this year. He's not throwing picks.
Mm-hmm. He threw one on the last drive that the guy dropped.
Wow.
That should have been.
That's
close. Well, yeah. Over right there.
See, yeah. But even if he threw
Come
one.
Come on, I mean, Senior.
That's look,
how many does he have for the season? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but how many? It's an unusually low pick season.
He's only got one. Right?
Yeah, he's taking care of the ball.
Two. The second one was that one he threw at the end of the first half Sunday.
Oh, okay.
That was the second.
So, for all these reasons, yeah, I still think the Giants are the better team. I'm going to say the Giants, the game's close, and they don't mismanage the end of the game again. I'm going to say the Giants 27-21.
I can't wait till Buffalo wins. I can't wait.
See, I like that score.
You're going to have to wait for another week, Scott.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Bills, Browns, Panthers, it's going to be pick shredding this week. And the byes this week, Cowboys are off. I mean, actually not off, just in general. Raiders are off, Rams are off, Bucks are off. So
it's a real murderer's row right there.
I know. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Senior,
Scott,
good to always talk to you.
It's been a pleasure there. I Schmitty, can't wait.
Schmitty, good to have you back. And you sound great on Skype. And
hope to do it again soon.
Yes, absolutely. And Cowboy, pleasure as always.
The pleasure's all mine, Scott.
Yes, of course it is. Any fights this week? Any
Man.
Good fights?
No.
No?
No, nothing of consequence.
Nothing of consequence? All right.
Hey, can I make one unrelated comment before we sign off?
Sure.
I wasn't here for the early half of the show, so I didn't get to make any comments about baseball. I just want to make a general comment about the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Red Sox fan, we all talked last week, and everybody seemed to be in agreement that the intriguing playoff and the best playoffs were going to be the National League playoffs, and we were kind of dismissing the American League a little bit. So far, the American League postseason has been fabulous. We've really seen some good games. So
yep.
Yale teams have stepped up and really given us some exciting baseball and almost kind of stolen the stage so far. So as an American League guy, I like that. And I hope it continues. I think the last series is going to be a real good one, too. So that's just my general comment.
Well, three game fives. And, you know, so they already have the time set for the AL and NLCSs on Saturday, and hopefully the Cubs will be only about 45 minutes from my house. We'll
go,
see.
Cubs, go.
We'll see. Of all the years that my team's in the postseason, and I'm going to be the villain.
Not to root for those Cubbies.
I do. I own a Cubs hat. I will wear it Friday morning if my season's over. So we'll see.
There's only two words that I can say that I don't like about the Cubs. I do love all the young talent. And mm-hmm. even the two words I'm going to say, maybe he's a talented guy and all that, but that's probably the Sox fan in me. I really don't like Joe Maddon. Those are the two words. Joe Maddon. If they keep panning that guy in the dugout, I'll have no trouble rooting against the Cubbies.
He's going to admit he's probably going to win. Well, hopefully my guy gets some votes. Terry,
what's that Michael Jordan thing, Cowboy? It's coming
there
out.
There it is. There it is. Just dragging stuff up from the past. Just to, he needs somebody to hate. He's fueled by hate.
Mm.
He's an easy target.
Yeah. So for Senior, for Schmitty, for Cowboy, for the Doctor, I'm Scott. Plenty of sports around us, but hop on and it won't pass you by. Have a good week.